everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. It is Wednesday. It's mid-month, July 15th, midweek show. And Tom, this is the four-month anniversary of when the C-19 really hit the fan. So
that would be back in March or whenever?
It would be. It was a weekend. And then Monday would have been St. Patrick's Day, the 17th, and that's when the market crashed, and it's just been going on.
It's been a blur since then.
4 months, the longest 4 months I can ever recall. 4 months that have felt like 4 years. And finally, a little bit of good news, light at the end of the tunnel, at least in the early testing. The vaccine is moving forward, and so that's good news. We'll keep our fingers crossed. We're trying very hard here to bring people together, and I think we're doing a darn good job of it, if I may pat myself on the back, bringing people together on the radio on the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. The station we broadcast from is 1030. It's Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback. Yes, we take the feed from kvoi.com. So you'll get it either at kvoi.com or my website, get the live feed. But then we have all the podcasts available that are posted usually within an hour or two of the program at buckmastershow.com. Let's go now on the live line to District 3, Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Supervisor Bronson, 4 months since the C-19 broke. Hard to believe.
It's a short month. It could be long or short, depending on the day you wake up, right?
Yes. How are you doing? Was there a meeting, a special meeting today of the board? Could you fill us in?
Yes, there is a special meeting today, and it's an emergency meeting. And what we're doing in that meeting and why we are holding it is on July 9th, the governor signed an executive order to be effective Saturday, July 11th, the new executive order conflicts with the board adopted proclamation that we did on May 21st. And given the governor's new executive order, it is appropriate that we have our proclamation conform to the executive order, including the addition of substantial penalties that provide broad authority to public health agencies to declare violations. The penalties, I think, should this pass, will include civil and criminal penalties, as well as actions that will require an establishment to cease operation by revoking permits and licenses and other actions that are necessary, again, to protect the public health. So that's why we're holding the meeting. We're trying to get it conform with the governor's new executive order. So that's at 4 o'clock today. So
were the restaurants already in line with that order? Weren't we already at about 50? Wasn't there a 50% limit on indoor dining anyway?
There was, but without the enforcement penalties. So what this does is really just bring us our May 21st order into compliance with the governor's. But again, it's now including the addition of substantial penalties and much broader authority for public health agencies to declare violations.
How would the enforcement piece of this work?
I think, again, and we're looking at both civil and criminal. It will start with our health department, and then if there isn't compliance, it will escalate. And I would assume that means if there's civil and criminal penalties, that will involve law enforcement and the county attorney's office.
What's your own take on the people wearing masks? Does it seem like we're getting pretty good compliance? Still so-so? How would you rate that?
I think it depends on where you go. But what I have noticed in my travels, and I try to limit them, is that there is much broader compliance in terms of retail establishments and individuals. When I go out in the morning, I see people who are exercising and they're maintaining the social distance, and when appropriate are wearing masks, and they're not the large, like you saw before, where you may have maybe 10 people together running or cycling, and I'm not seeing that now. But that, again, is just anecdotal.
What do you make of the numbers? And I know you talk a lot with Dr. Garcia. What do you make of our numbers compared to the state?
Compared to the state, I think Pima County, I think you've seen some stuff on Yuma, and Maricopa County, we have pockets that are of concern. And I think we're certainly doing better than the Navajo Nation, but again, we haven't been doing sufficient testing. We're just starting that now, and contact tracing as well. So, testing is going to be critical to all of this. And it seems to me that Governor Ducey's priority is Maricopa County instead of only and not Pima County. And they're doing in Maricopa County significant testing for certain zip codes where we see the high positive. And we have similar zip codes in Pima County, and several of them are in my district. You know, the state provided $12.7 million to ASU for saliva-based testing in South Phoenix, and it announced free COVID testing at 5 different zip codes in Phoenix, at CVS or Walgreens. There were no such announcements in Pima County. There was no money provided or assistance. The state provided testing in long-term care facilities, but we had already done that with our CARES Act money. And my supervisors in Santa Cruz County, who I'm in contact with, spent 3 weeks trying to negotiate an intergovernment agreement with the State Department of Medical Health Services for COVID testing, when their county had the fastest accelerating infection rate in the state. And it was only this Monday that they finally got it approved. So the governor needs to pay more attention to all of the areas, all of the counties where these infection rates are high, and provide us the same aid that he has provided to Maricopa County, in my view.
People are frustrated. My goodness, a couple of weekends ago, the hospitals were very, very crowded, and we had reports that people were gaming the system, quite honestly, calling 911 and saying they think they have COVID when they're basically the motivation was to get a test. And sometimes they got an ambulance ride up to Phoenix.
And that's certainly not a good use of time and resources, whether they're physical resources or monetary resources. But Pima County is now hosting a free COVID-19 testing center at the Keno Event Center. We are encouraging people to call, and you can call, and the number is 1-800-369-3584 to schedule an appointment. No walk-in tests, though, and you have to have an appointment. and the center will open from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And you can also go online and register at pima.gov/COVID-19 testing. So I encourage everyone who wants to be tested, this is free testing, to contact us either at the link I just mentioned or at the number.
And again, the number is 1-800-369-3584. Was that correct?
That's correct. And the link is pima.gov/COVID-19 testing. All one word, no spaces.
And there will be no charge?
No charge.
Just you have to fill out some paperwork?
You are going to have to fill out some paperwork, yes.
All right. We'll take our break right here. What's going on with Pima County and the Pima County Back to Business Initiative? There's some news on that. We'll have Sharon Bronson stick around for our next segment in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. District 3 Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson with us on the live line. What's going on as far as this Back to Business initiative? Any help for businesses that are being hurt because of lost seating, about perhaps for expanding their outdoor dining?
I think we are doing some of that, but I think much is happening in Pima County on the back to business front. For instance, the Ready for You campaign is, as you just asked, is partnering with local restaurants, bars, hotels, resorts, and other area attractions to help assure that they're ready to reopen and while doing all all that is necessary to protect the public. We provided, I think, some PPE for some area restaurants, particularly in collaboration with Downtown Tucson Partnership. And we worked with them to conduct a needs assessment and identification of programs and businesses that might be in need of assistance. You know, we've got a great Downtown Outdoor Cafe grant program that's helping business make up for lost seating and revenue. And then we are providing reimbursement for eligible projects that businesses might need to stay in compliance. Reimbursing costs up to $5,000. And then we've got the Rebound Grant Program, and that helps businesses overcome financial, marketing, and, you know, the operational challenges that they are experiencing during these rather challenging times. During the phase one of this, we received, or Downtown Tucson Partnership received, about 17 business applications. And again, they can use that money that they get to offset the expenses related to complying with COVID-19 restrictions. So, you know, again, we distributed personal protective equipment to at least 37 restaurants and businesses. We've got a COVID-19 resource page that shares healthy and safety resources for businesses. And
chief sanitation officer now has been hired?
Yes. Again, to assist business so that everybody can stay safe, particularly employees and retail businesses that where public comes in. So it's ever evolving, but obviously we need to assure the public that if they're visiting establishments, that it's safe to do it. And we are working in collaboration with those businesses to assure that both their employees and their customers can stay safe. And this will be ongoing. Every day it changes. There are new challenges. So.
Yeah, and one of the challenges, and we had Margaret Regan on the show yesterday talking about arts venues. Boy, have they been just, you talk about hard hit. Fox Theater decided they're just not even going to try this year. They're going to look ahead to 2021, and I think that's kind of the feeling. But these arts organizations are losing a lot of money, Sharon Bronson.
They are, and there doesn't seem to be any relief in sight as we get more information. So it's, again, it's going to be challenging. How do we assure that they survive and thrive as we work through this? And I don't know that any of us have the answer, but you and I, Bill, we're both fans of the art. And I don't know about you, but I miss the Rialto. I miss Fox.
Yeah.
I just miss some of the venues. I mean, we've seen some great things going on with the arts in Oro Valley.
UA Presents is going to make some announcement in August about how they're going to continue on. And there's been some speculation maybe they'll do outdoor, some kind of a very limited outdoor event. But who knows? A lot of people just now focusing so much on 2021, and we're all keeping our fingers crossed that, you know, we'll be able to get together again if there is indeed a vaccine that works. But where do we go from here? Other than COVID news, are the road programs still proceeding in Pima County?
Oh, good. You asked a question that I have a positive answer to. Thank you.
Something positive?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something positive, of course, yeah. Yes. Yeah. We've got about $50 million coming in this fiscal year for road maintenance and repair. So that will proceed. And we'll see beyond that. I don't think any government, any public sector or private sector entity can predict what next year is going to look like. We're hopeful it will improve, but is something that we will find out day by day as we see the progression or the reduction in COVID cases.
And as far as the county employees working from home, are they still going to the county building? What's the latest on that?
We still have a telecommuting. I personally think we need to do more of it. I think it's going to be much more of a challenge in the fall when we see what school districts are doing and if they are not reopening or if they're doing things through the internet. That means our employees who have kids can't send them to daycare, can't send them to school, so they're going to have options. And I think we need to be more aggressive in allowing telecommuting. I know it's a brand new venue for most, and it's not something we've done before, but I think we're going to have to look more seriously at enlarging our telecommuting policies and expanding them so that we can allow employees who have family that, whether kids who can't go to school or family who are at risk to telecommute from home. And I don't think this is going to go away by the end of the year from all the information we're getting at this point. But it looks like the vaccine might be working, so that might change the whole trajectory of this outbreak, this pandemic. We'll see.
Are there checks every day when the employees come into the building? How is that going? What are they doing? Taking the temperature? Are they in anything else or what?
Just taking temperature and their checks every day. To come into the building, any county building, whether you're an employee or a visitor, you have to have your temperature checked. If it's above, I think, 100.4, you cannot come in the building. And if you pass the test, you get a little sticker. You get rewarded. So, yes, we are continuing testing for all of our public facilities, whether you're an employee or a visitor.
The county has a new budget, and I know the city passed a budget, and they're going to address every month. I guess they're going to go back and look at it. Is that something that you're going to consider for the county as well, a redo or a look at every month, depending on where we are with this ever-changing situation?
Oh, yes, of course we're doing it on a weekly basis, actually. But what I think is going to are what we're worried about is that, you know, we are now doing this, all this pre-testing at Keno, and we're also doing some contact tracing. And we were allocated with the CARES Act about $87 million. I don't know whether that's going to last until December 30th, 2020. We may need more. And certainly our hospitals are in a situation where they're very stressed. And to get them, to get their ICU up to capacity, we're talking millions of dollars in terms of expansion. And so, again, another challenge. So definitely we need to monitor our budget at least weekly to see where we are with some of those items. We are not as stressed as the city of Tucson and other incorporated jurisdictions that rely solely or that rely very much on sales tax. County does not have a sales tax. So the impact to us in the short term will not be as great in terms of revenue as it will be for cities and towns.
All right, Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. Stay safe. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up on a hard break, CBS Network News, 1 minute of CBS News. Then we'll hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors. Then again, it's our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice series right after this.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. Yeah, that's right. Everything that can grow does grow. On their 13 acres, amazing plants, trees, annuals, and a lot more. Green Things is open daily. It's really a beautiful location over there along the Rito River. And not only can you get your great plants, but the Zocalo Village, they have such an extraordinary collection of handmade furniture, some of those antiques, fine arts, Talavera pottery from Mexico, beautiful items. And it's a village. There's five shops in the Zocalo Village, and it's all part of the Green Things Complex at 3384 East River Road. Here's their website, greenthingsaz.com or ZocaloVillage.com. We continue now with our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series here on KVOI and the Buckmaster Show. This is a community service. We're trying to introduce everybody to the candidates on the ballot in the primary, and we archive then all of our interviews at KVOI.com. So it's like a clearinghouse from our three local shows. Democrat Kevin Kubinski is with us. Kevin is going up against fellow Democrat, former Sheriff Chris Nanos. The winner will move on to challenge the incumbent, the Republican, the Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. Kevin, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Tell me, Kevin, why you decided to run again. You tried 4 years ago, and now you're back in it. Why?
Well, I didn't try 4 years ago. I've been involved in a lot in the Sheriff's Department, and it's kind of a long story, but I'll see if I can sum it up really quickly. I did over two decades with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, never formally disciplined, was highly decorated. In about 2015, I was asked to be the president of the association. I was voted in by my peers. And when I took over that spot, I really began to push for the men and women at ground level and try to get them equality and basic pay and things of that comparative to those that work around them in other agencies. And in the course of doing that, I worked closely with the command staff, and I worked closely among them. In that process, that was when my opponent, the appointed Sheriff Chris Nanos, took office. And during that time, I became a whistleblower. I had ledgers that were dropped on my desk, and I took those ledgers and I studied them and realized that there was some laundering of money and misappropriation of funds. So I went to the FBI, and after I did that, an investigation ensued, which led to an open investigation, which was fought against by my opponent, and ultimately ended in, unfortunately, a suicide and then an indictment of the top two individuals appointed by him, and then a carry-on investigation that kind of shut down and went away. But from my understanding, that has been turned over to the AG's office, and those findings have recently just come back. And there may be more to it. There may be not. I don't know. But I do know that within the last week, there has been some findings in regards to that case that may put some light on some other things or other issues. That led to the loss of the election for my opponent and the bringing in of the current sheriff. While remaining in the position of the president of the association, I felt it necessary to still, hold true the promises and that of the campaign from before. And when those weren't kept and those were not followed, they became empty. And I felt it necessary as the leader of the association, the largest group of men and women in the sheriff's department, I felt it necessary to try and hold those accountable. And because of that, it led to the point where 3 years later, I decided to retire and run for sheriff to effect that change that was promised and never delivered.
Yes, and I do stand corrected. So you did not run 6 years ago. You did not run 4 years ago. So is this your first run for political office, Kevin Kubinski?
Yes, it is. It's a completely grassroots campaign. I have been out. I collected 92% of my own signatures, and I've put up 100% of my own signs. I've had help on a very large scale from supporters and people that believe in the cause and believe in what I say, that know me intimately and have talked with me extensively on the topics and the issues. My platforms have been in place since 2019. They're solid platforms. I've discussed what I will do and how I will do it moving forward. And I think that's very important because my opponents have either had the opportunity to create change and have not done so, or they have had the opportunity to discuss the change they would create and still have not done so up until maybe the last few days. And I've been kind of stating what I've been planning on doing since 2019, diversification, change in training, change in safety, holding the department accountable for integrity and transparency, and putting all of those things forward.
So I would like you then to summarize your platform. You kind of gave us a few of those. What are the changes that you would make, Kevin Kubinski?
Well, there are a lot of platforms in any campaign, and going over all of them is extensive. I want to work better with the tribal communities and in assisting them with their investigations. They are a federal agency, however, they often lack a lot of resources that we do have, and I think we can help them, especially when it comes to the indigenous women population. In regards to that, my top three platforms are safety, integrity, and diversity. I think we've seen through the last regime underneath my opponent in the primary that there was a lack of integrity and there was a lack of transparency. That came out in the FBI investigation. It can be Googled really easily. You just need to Google my name, Google my opponent's name, and you'll see all the controversy surrounding that. It was even talked about in the Arizona Daily Star and in the Green Valley newspaper just recently. I think underneath this current regime, we see a lot of integrity issues again going on. We just finished up a special master's investigation at the county attorney level for lawsuits that the deputies have filed against the current administration. And it's revealed a lot of integrity-based issues. So integrity is one of my platforms. I want to be transparent with the public. I believe that as sheriff, we have an obligation to the people. It's their department. We have an obligation to be transparent in the fashion that even if it puts egg on our face, the people have a right to know. It's that their tax dollars that are paying for that entity, and it's their right to know good and bad. I believe in safety. I believe our numbers have been decreased in such a fashion, and statistics have been switched in such a fashion. I don't have time to discuss them right now, but I can in future causes.
We're quickly running out of time, and just a quick couple of questions. Would you require deputies wear cameras?
So this is a federal mandate that I believe is coming down the pipeline. I think there's been enough time vetted with cameras out there that, yes, I want cameras. I believe that they're necessary now. I think them becoming forward, we've worked out the bugs, we've looked at the issues. And like I said, it's becoming a federal mandate that I believe all agencies in the near future are going to be required to have them. So it's better to be on the parts moving forward towards a positive solution than to sit back and try to fight against it.
Kevin, we are out of time, but where can people find out more if they'd like to learn more about you and your campaign?
I would love that. And I'm open to anybody to call me or reach out to me with questions or concerns. My phone number is 520-771-5229. That's my campaign phone. Or they can look me up on Facebook for Kubinski, the number 4, Sheriff. Or they can look me up at www.kubinski, KUBITSKEY, the number 4, Sheriff, SHERIFF.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Kevin Kubinski.
Bill, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time, and I'm humbled.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Kevin Kubinski. Our interview with Kevin and all of our interviews at KVOI.com, we've kind of got everything archived, trying to give everybody as a public service a chance to hear from as many of the candidates as possible. Coming up next, he's not a candidate for anything, but he is always pushing for sound preservation of our community, and that is historian Ken Scoville. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is our midweek edition, looking over at that Silver City weather forecast. You know, one of our great sponsors is Silver City. When you're ready to travel somewhere different, get in the car, take off. About a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Southwest, mile-high elevation. That's about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. It does make a difference. My goodness, I'm looking. Mr. Tom Fairbanks pulled up their weather. I see 88, upper 80s for the weekend. They've got some good chances for monsoon. So that means the Gila's greening up, the Gila National Wilderness. So a real nice outing over there. And you know what we say, it's kind of our informal Buckmaster Show guarantee about temperatures this time of year. We usually say anywhere from 10, 15. I've seen it, Tom, as high as 20 degrees difference during before the monsoons really hit. So it's going to be cooler. You're going to have a nice summer day over in Silver City. The starting place, southwestnewmexico.org. Check it out for places to stay and things to do. Let's welcome one of our two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. He is our history contributor, Ken Scoville. The Buckmaster Show historian. Ken, how are you?
Oh, I am fine considering the world. I'm just doing fine.
Are you trying to stay safe?
Oh, yes, and I'm trying to start another book. I thought if I'm going to be stuck in here, I might as well try and write another book somewhere.
Ken, what is this we're hearing about what's commonly referred to as the farm, the University of Arizona Agriculture Center? It's a nice little respite in the middle of our town over on Campbell, and I always love driving by there, seeing all sorts of wildlife. Is there talk of perhaps selling that asset?
Oh, yes. I became aware of this several months ago, that because of all the COVID issues and the university funding and all that, did they put it on the potential possibility for sale along with other assets? And I don't think most people realize how much this is, the farm is part of Tucson, besides just being a wonderful visual and emotional break with farm animals. It's part of our 4,000-year history of agriculture, and I like to think part of our City of Gastronomy nomination.
Well, you wrote an editorial, UA's Agriculture Center, a vital asset to the community. The Arizona Daily Star published this, and you point out that this is an area, I guess it's 80 acres, it's a little larger than even I thought. What kind of money are they talking about that this would bring in?
Oh, I've heard different numbers. I don't know if I doubt if they've done an appraisal yet.
Yeah.
But I've had upwards considering what might be built on it, and I'm like I referenced in my guest editorial, we don't need more flake board apartments, but probably $10 million.
Mm.
And the original land is 80 acres. The west of Campbell was the original portion of 80 acres about 1909 when it was purchased. And then in the mid-1950s, on the east side of Campbell, there was a dairy farm that the university purchased, and then expanded to about another total of 150 acres on the east side. And they made those investments because they recognized how important this location was for access to the University of Arizona. I can't think of any other functioning research farm that's actually ongoing where the students can bicycle from the main university out and do research and study.
What's the land grant connection to all of this, Ken Scoville?
Well, when I was thinking about this and being on the show, it starts sounding like your high school history teacher, but it is important. It's called the Morrill Act. We actually had some positive things going on during the Civil War, and to sort of try and promote the study of agriculture and mechanical arts, which later became engineering, they said in this legislation that land would be given to states that could be sold off to help fund institutions, and that's how we got the name Land Grant Institutions, and the U of A was the very first one that was found under this proposal, and they did benefit from the selling of land for further colleges of agriculture and other colleges. Later acts would add more emphasis in funding mediums, but it was always about research and teaching and extension.
The campus farm seems like it's a pretty important part of that, isn't it?
Well, it's just the essence. In fact, in 1909 was it established. The dean at that time, and who the building is named for on the campus, the agricultural building, name was Forbes. And he was quoted as saying, "Finally, we have a home for research and study and teaching." And he was just thrilled with the acquisition of it. So, of course, like everything else in Tucson, that seemed way out of time at the time from the main branch of the university. And it became what we call an extension station. And this location started providing advice and research to other land parcels in Arizona that local communities would establish as other extension farms. So this has been the hub for research throughout the whole agricultural programs in the state of Arizona.
I've wondered about those buildings. They look so neat. Are they old buildings there on the farm?
Well, those of us that like historic preservation, we call them historic, rather than old. There were actually still a nice little cluster of buildings. One that you see as you drive right up and down Campbell, you see the roof line, the parapet, which has this Mission Revival style. Most of those came in the probably 1914 up to about 1930 or so. We think, we're still doing some research, think Jostad was the architect for that. But it's an historic campus from the buildings. But also the actual land is historic, being a part of the floodplain of the Rito, all the agriculture that was done along the Rito. When you think about El Fuerte, the Mexican community at Fort Lowe, Binghamton, and the Mormon community along Rito. So we, at the University of Arizona, when they purchased this land, this became another part of that tradition of building along the flood-prone lands, which had great soil, so things would grow.
Where would they move the cooperative extension if they sold?
Well, they had, I know they purchased some other lands for some other related ventures up in Marana. But the idea of having students have to drive and all these other things, this is the hub. This is the, like I said, it's an asset to the community. Think about all the extension programs on the east side. Think about all the school groups and people come over there. But like I said, agriculture is going to be becoming more important in our society. And the fact that we have a working farm in the center of Tucson, it is always going to be an asset. And like I said, also add to this recognition that we are a city of gastronomy and farming.
What can be done, Ken?
Well, I know there's a community group that is formed that's advocating for the preservation, but it's like everything else in this world. Send a text, send a letter to President Robbins and the other members of the university that we know you're having problems. We're going to try and help figure that out for you. But the Campbell Farm should not be what today we call the Agriculture Center. But the Campbell Farm should not even be consideration for sale. It's an asset that will just continue to be more valuable in the future. If the U of A doesn't have a future anymore, then maybe they ought to sell it off. But if you think you have a future at the U of A, and I certainly hope that everybody else does, then the farm needs to stay.
Boy, I tend to agree with you. Do they rotate the animals? I've often wondered. Sometimes I see cattle and other, sometimes sheep. Did you get into that at all?
I know my animal husbandry is not up to what it might be, but I don't live real close, but I always drive by and see what's out there. I would imagine part of it might be the land, season, time of the year cycle, but it's always a pleasant surprise. All the sheep are out today, the cattle.
Oh, I love the sheep. Well, that's a question I'm certainly going to put to Jeff Silvertooth. Dr. Silvertooth is head of the cooperative extension here, and he's going to be on in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to actually save your editorial and your notes that you sent me. Maybe we can get some answers from Jeff out of all of this, Ken.
Right, because you're right. The last irony of this, the whole reason that the U of A is established as a land grant institution is because they had to have emphasis on agriculture.
Yeah.
Along with mechanics. And that farm represents the whole founding of the University of Arizona, the land grant institution.
I agree. I think you're making a good case. Ken Scoville, always a pleasure. Ken, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Bye.
Ken Scoville is the Buckmaster Show historian. That's going to do it for our program today, our midweek edition. We're with you, of course, each noon hour during the week, and we'll be here tomorrow. The Lord willing, and what do they say, in the creek don't rise, something like that, but hopefully we'll be here tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.